In 2003, Nike signed 13-year-old Freddie Adu to a seven-figure contract. But Freddie didn't live up to the hype. He has turned down every single documentary project looking closely at the details of his career. Until now.
People are going to look at everything you did because of the hype surrounding your arrival and what they think you can be.
I'm Grant Wall, and this is American Prodigy, Freddie Adu, from Blue Wire Podcasts.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
Hello once again, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast, your one-stop shop for all things green and gold. It is game day for the Packers and the Colts. As we hit week 11 of the NFL season, Packers at 7-2, looking to lock up that 500 or better season and continue their run in the NFC North. My name is Mike Welland. I'm joined by Gage Bridgeford to preview this afternoon's game. And Gage, this is kind of interesting perspective. You're in Indiana. I'm in Wisconsin. Obviously, you're both Packer fans, but you're going to have some pretty good insight on what the Colts can bring. And what are your thoughts on this game, I guess, to get things started?
My thoughts on this game, I've been down on this Colts team all year. I have been, I've been critical of them. I haven't thought that they were as good. Similar to Chicago, I thought Chicago was good, but I thought that they were still overperforming their record. I think the same thing goes for the Colts. I think that the Colts have been largely, Chicago, buoyed by a really good defense. I finally come around on that. But I think that they're a team that if they can play smart football and just take care of the ball, they can beat a lot of teams, which is how they're 6-3 on the year. And that's how they knocked off Tennessee last week, is they made good plays and they won all three phases of the game. Against Green Bay, they match up really interestingly. The main thing they want to do is run the football. Obviously, we all know that Green Bay just can't do that. Can't stop that very efficiently. And if that's going to cause problems, if they are able to really get that ground game going early on, it's going to be a long day for Green Bay fans.
Well, absolutely. But the one thing that will help Green Bay is the injury status, because they've got a lot of guys coming back. That's going to help, especially on the edges. Obviously, Kevin King and Jair Alexander both off the injury report, so they're going to play. Devontae Adams, of course, is set to go. Vernon Scott is off the injury report completely. All the offensive linemen are off. The one loss that I think will hurt the run defense is Montrevious Adams. As weird as it is, and as much as he has gotten ragged over the years, for good reason, he's played well this year. And he's made some good solid plays, but with him doubtful with a toe injury, that will probably mean Billy Winn will be up, which can help. But that's a run stopper that's not going to be there. And with Jonathan Taylor and Nyheim Hines and Jordan Wilkins, that's a decent 300 rushing attack for the Colts.
It is. Jonathan Taylor has underwhelmed this year. Everyone thought he was going to come in and just be like he was at Wisconsin and just run over everybody and just be untouchable, yada, yada, yada. I wasn't of that opinion. I still thought Marlon Mack could bring something to this team. Obviously, he's injured now, so it was Taylor's job to have, but Taylor needed to get time to get his feet under him. Not every running back, or not every rookie for that matter, comes in and hits the ground running. It's unfortunate for Taylor because he had so much hype. And then you have guys like Joe Burrow, Justin Herbert, Justin Jefferson, all these other offensive rookies that are coming in and just flat out cooking right now. Taylor's still a good player, and he's behind a good offensive line. He's just not clicking yet. But with Jordan Wilkins has looked good in the last few weeks, and he's shown flashes since he entered the league. And Nyheim Hines is a player that can give Green Bay fits because his ability to catch balls out of the backfield can generate big plays with it. He's a punt returner for a reason. He's a big play waiting to happen. He had one game last year where I think he had two punt return touchdowns and a kick and a rushing or a receiving touchdown. It's just, he's an impressive player. So Green Bay with Montrevious Adams out, that can cause a lot of issues because Adams would be the perfect guy to put next to Kenny Clark for a game like this. Get big down in the trenches and really try and take it to Indy rather than letting Indy dictate the course. Because with guys like Ryan Kelly and Quentin Nelson in the middle, those are some big, bad dudes. Kelly is one of the better centers in football, and Quentin Nelson is, in my opinion, still the best guard in football. And if it's not him, it's Wyatt Teller in Cleveland. Those are probably the two best guards in football right now. Zach Martin, just a little bit older, dealt with some injuries this year, so that's why I knocked him down a little bit. But those guys are good, and they can move Kenny around. They can move anybody around, too.
Absolutely. And plus, for Indianapolis, Braden Smith now questionable with a thumb injury that occurred late in the week, but
Expect him to play.
I'm expecting he's going to play, which at right tackle, that's another solid piece to have around. But yeah, you talk about like the rookie impact. Like Taylor did come in with a lot of hype, and being in Wisconsin, I definitely know the hype that he's been generating. But any rookie running back can have time, especially with no training camp, no preseason, to try and find and get used to the speed of the game, speed of the defenses. I think he'll be fine. I mean, it's going to be interesting to see how he handles Green Bay's front, handles the Smiths and Rashawn Gary getting upfield, and how he handles blocking assignments. But with the Packers' corners getting healthy, the Colts' passing game isn't as potent as probably a lot of us thought they would be. I mean, I've said for years T.Y. Hilton's one of the most underrated players in football, but he's definitely showing some age this year at times. Pittman's good, but he's still kind of growing a little bit. And then the Colts' Jack Doyle has been banged up all season, tight end. He's questionable for this one, coming off a concussion.
He was a full participant in practice on Thursday and Friday, so I think he is going to suit up, but it's not a guarantee. The more important one is probably Mo Alie-Cox, honestly. He had the DNP on Friday after being limited on Wednesday and Thursday.
Yeah, and he's not on the injury report, which is interesting. Like, he's not listed as any designation.
Yeah, that is a little weird. I'm wondering if it's one of those, they would have put not injury related if that's why he was missing, like if it was rest or a scheduled off day. So that's weird. I don't know why they would do something like that, because he's gonna suit up if he's not on the injury report, right?
If he doesn't, that could lead to the league looking into it.
Yeah.
As we've seen in the past, and we know the consistency of the NFL punishment system.
Yeah, super consistent. Ultra consistent.
Well, when they make Gary Bettman the NHL competent, you know there's something wrong.
This league confuses the hell out of me. I know we all watched the quick thing about league consistency. I know we all watched the Thursday night game. The idea of if a hit to the head of the quarterback happens, it gets called. Sometimes it's called soft. I get it. But this whole idea that certain quarterbacks are getting the call and certain ones aren't. Russ Wilson got chopped in the face. And if you're gonna call that for half the other quarterbacks in the NFL, you gotta keep it consistent. You gotta call it for him. We've seen it get called for Rodgers this year. We've seen it get missed. Make a call here. Like, the hit to Wilson was clear as day too. Like, he got hit in the face. The hand got into the face mask a little bit. Make the call. Pay attention. That's your job as the ref back there, is to see that play happen. But we don't need to linger too long on that. That's one of those. Jacob Westendorf, he said that he doesn't agree that the call should be made. Like, it should just be, that rule should be taken out. But if you're going to call it, and it's like, if it's in the rule book, you got to call it for everybody.
Well, I'm with you. I'm with him as well. I think it shouldn't be called, but if it's in there, you got to call it. It's like calling offensive pass interference in the Big Ten, which I'm still angry about from Friday night.
But that was garbage.
We'll that's a different day's discussion. On how Purdue won Twitter and also got hosed by the refs to the point where a lot of bets got refunded by a couple sports books.
Wow.
After that one. But moving forward, taking a look at this Packers-Colts matchup, of course, because we are the Pack-A-Day podcast, we should be talking about the Packers. The last couple of times, granted it was with the L.A. Chargers or San Diego Chargers at the time, Phillip Rivers has carved up Green Bay. Can he do it?
No. I don't think so. Here's why. When he was carving up Green Bay, for one, Green Bay did not have the corners that they do now. Jaire Alexander and Kevin King being fully healthy, Josh Jackson finally coming into his own in his third season, they have the corners to match up with these indie receivers. Jaire Alexander has been arguably the best corner in football this year. I will be stunned if he doesn't get an All-Pro nod with the level of play that he has put out there. And it's awesome to see. I love – Alexander might be – if not my favorite Packer, he's pretty close to it, because I love watching this dude play ball. He goes out, he plays hard all the time, and he's got the right amount of confidence and smack talk too, and he backs it all up. It's great. I love watching him play. But there's not a guy that in this game, like maybe T.Y. that he has to shadow, but there's not really a guy he has to shadow in this game, because Pittman Jr., like you said, good young player, but he's not really put fully put it all together. Zach Pascal is a clear wide receiver two or three on a good team. T.Y. is older. He's lost a step. Like, Jair could go eliminate any one of those guys, and it wouldn't be a big deal. But honestly, Green Bay could just line up all three of them across, like, their three corners and say, well, good luck. You're not going to be able to pass on any one of these guys. And for that reason, I think that Indy's only hope of winning this game is to really run the ball effectively and set up maybe some play action. And because I don't have any confidence in this Colts defense or this Colts offense, Rivers' arm looks awful. It's bad. Like, if I can throw the ball as far as you can, that's a problem. And he can't throw. He has no power on the ball. He's throwing nothing but knuckleballs every time he lets it go. It's just, it's bad. Everyone thought, oh, it's going to be explosive because of the weapons. The weapons are good, but Rivers is not. I'm not saying that they would be better with Jacoby Brissett under center, but Brissett would at least be able to drive the ball down the field effectively. We're watching, like, Mike, I know you and I are both watching the IU-Ohio State game right now. Justin Fields has the power to drive a ball. Michael Penix, the quarterback of IU, just doesn't have that. That's why he threw a pick six a little bit ago. Rivers doesn't have the ability to drive the ball anymore, and that causes problems, especially against the aggressive corners like the ones Green Bay has.
2020 has already reshaped how we work, and it's almost over. Businesses across the globe are challenged to be their most efficient, which means every hire is critical. Indeed is here to help. Indeed is the number one job site in the world, with more total visits than any other job site, according to ComScore. Indeed helps you find quality candidates quickly, so you can focus on hiring the person you need to keep your business going. Unlike other sites, Indeed gives you full control and payment flexibility over your hiring. You only pay for what you need. You can pause your account at any time, and there are no long-term contracts. And now, Indeed's new way of matching you with candidates instantly delivers a short list of quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job criteria that you can contact the moment you sponsor a job, making Indeed the only job site that can move as fast as you do. Right now, Indeed is offering our listeners a free $75 credit to boost your job post, which means more quality candidates will see it fast. Try Indeed out with a free $75 credit at Indeed.com/BlueWire. This is their best offer available anywhere. Go right now to Indeed.com/BlueWire. Offer valid through December 31st. Term and conditions apply.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I do think Rivers is definitely... He's not the player he was, and there's no doubt. I mean, we saw that with Eli Manning. I mean, we're not seeing with Roethlisberger as much, but the quarterbacks from that draft are... I mean, it was 17 years ago, or 16 years ago. It's been a long time since those guys have been in the league. And players age. Father Time will always be undefeated unless you're Barry Bonds and you have help. But there will always be a time when your time in the league is up. And it's looking like more and more that way with Phillip Rivers. And you're right, the running game is going to be huge. Nyheim Hines is going to be huge. How the Packers cover him, I think, is going to be something. Because Phillip Rivers can make those throws. Those are all in the flat. He can make those throws pretty easily. And if you get a guy like Hines in space and you don't wrap him up right away, it's going to be an issue. But on the other side, when you look at the Packers' offense against the Colts' defense, that Colts' pass rush is fearsome. I mean, Justin Houston's older, but he still can get the job done every now and then. DeForest Buckner is shown to be worth that 12th overall pick and more with the trade they made with San Francisco. He has been lights out, and I think San Francisco may start to regret that trade eventually. He has been that good, and then you factor in some of the other players they have in that front seven. Darius Leonard, a top-tier linebacker out there as well. Like this,
Darius Leonard's looking to make a statement this week, too, after the Fred Warner comments. I know you saw that. Aaron Rodgers said that Fred Warner was the best linebacker in football, and Darius Leonard heard that, and he has been talking all week that he is not pleased about that statement because Leonard, rightfully so, believes that he is the best linebacker in football. I'm not saying that he is. Because this might be the best that we've seen linebacker in a long time. Like, with Luke Kuechly and Bobby Wagner and Levante David and those guys, linebacker was really good. But this is a deep, deep time in linebacker. Bobby Wagner, Levante David, Fred Warner, even Dre Greenlaw is good. There's just Darius Leonard. There's so many talented young linebackers in football right now that if you like linebacker play, this is the best time to be alive right now because it's everywhere. Every time you turn on a game, there's – good players like Miles Jack in Jacksonville is a great linebacker. His knee is a time bomb, but right now it's not gone off yet, and so he's still playing really good ball.
No, I'm with you, and Darius Leonard is a very good player. He's had his issues staying on the field now, but when he's out there, you can tell that the speed of that defense is changing immediately when he's out there. So let's jump into our next topic, which is what we've done every preview, which is the Packers winning if. So Gage, I'll go to you first. The Packers beat the Colts if what happens?
They turn it into, their offense keeps clicking. We've talked about the defense of the Colts being good, and they are. They don't necessarily have the corners to match up with Green Bay, but they have the pass rush, especially with Buckner on the interior, and Houston if he can turn back the clock. But Green Bay's offense has been the driving force for them all year, and if they can turn it into not necessarily a shootout, but a game where they're putting up points regularly and forcing Indy to try and match them in that way. Indy can match them if the game is like the Minnesota game a few weeks ago, where Minnesota just kept the ball, had long drives, and kept Green Bay on the sideline. But this Packers offense, especially if Lazard plays tomorrow, even if he doesn't play his usual workload because they want to work him back slow, they have the receivers to make big plays happen. Devontae's healthy, which is awesome, and just really helps this team play well. And I think that he can make Xavier Rhodes look like an average, look like a below average corner, as he has for the last few years when Rhodes was in Minnesota. So if the passing game is clicking for Green Bay, I think it's over. I just don't think that there's any way that I don't think their offense is explosive enough to keep up with Green Bay's high scoring output.
And I'm with you, Gage. I think the Packers win but for me it's if they control the middle of the field. Obviously, I'm not saying front seven because Buckner and Leonard are that good, but when you get beyond that, when you have going against Blackman, Willis, and Moore in the secondary, and Rhodes and Rocky Sin, and I just don't think without Malik Hooker back there and his range and his playmaking ability, if you can control the seams and you can control that deep quarter, I think Green Bay's passing offense can really explode in a dome environment without having to deal with weather, deal with all the other issues they have. I think that's going to go a long way toward this one. I think Green Bay can really win controlling the dead center of the football field and making Leonard drop back a little bit further than he would probably like. Then the other side, Gage, what would cause the Packers if they were to lose this game?
It all comes down to the running game. If the Colts running game can, like if Green Bay's offense sputters at all early, and then Indy can get on the board first and then can sustain those long drives, they can cause problems for Green Bay. Obviously, we've seen it. When Green Bay loses, it's because their defense cannot stop the run. And especially with Montrevious Adams out, that's an automatic downgrade on the defense, like the running defense as a whole. He's not necessarily a great pass rusher, but that's okay because when you have the other pass rushers around him, he doesn't need to be. But he needs to be there to stop the run. If he misses, and Indy can really get that running game going and just sustain long 12, 13, 14 play drives and keep the ball out of Rodgers' hands. Rodgers is excited to play in this game because it's indoors. He hasn't played indoors in a long time. When's the last time he played indoors? Like week one against Minnesota?
New Orleans.
New Orleans. So it would have been week three. So it's been 2 months since he's played inside. And this is perfect because he's been playing with this wind. He's going to be driving the ball really well, and he can get it in all over this defense with his arm, because his arm talent is still as good as it's ever been. But if he's not on the field, he can't make plays. And the Colts, they don't want to take the ball out of Rivers' hands, but they are more than willing to let the defense just kind of try and slow down Green Bay, sustain long running drives, and set it up that way. So if Green Bay loses, it's because their defense can't stop the run.
Yeah, I can't disagree with anything you said. I'm with you. I think that's what's going to be the biggest issue. Taylor Hines and Wilkins, again, we've talked about, they're a good trio. If they get going and they control the clock, and much like you said with the Minnesota Vikings, with what Dalvin Cook did, if those three combined do three quarters of what Cook did, it could be a long day. Obviously, hopefully not, but we'll see what goes on there. Before we jump into the spreads and our predictions for the Packers themselves, let's take a quick look at the NFC North. There's a couple of games as well to keep an eye on. Obviously, the Bears are a bye, which is, again, no different from their offense anyway. So they're not playing this week. But Detroit is. They're in Carolina. It's Detroit at 4-5, Carolina at 3-7. Carolina has lost five in a row. But Matt Patricia looking to keep his job. Detroit having their moments. I don't know what to think about this game. I don't think it matters that much, but you never know with some of those pesky teams.
I want Carolina to win. I don't want Detroit to win because it's obviously good to see NFC North teams lose, but I think Carolina is a fun team to watch this year. I really do. They are, like, I like what Teddy Bridgewater has done. I think that Joe Brady and the offense is really clicking. They're really able to keep the offense on schedule. PJ Walker is possibly going to be the starter this week because Teddy's still dealing with an injury. But when you have guys like Curtis Samuel and Robbie Anderson, DJ Moore, Mike Davis even as a backup running back, you're going to be able to move the ball no matter who's behind center. And with Walker having the week to get more practice to possibly be the starter, then I'm sure the offense will be a little bit better. And against Detroit, it's pretty easy to move the ball because their defense is pretty damn bad, despite having a defensive-minded head coach who has all of the pieces he could ever dream about. For Detroit, it's going to be interesting. Danny Amendola, Kenny Golladay, obviously both out, but Matt Stafford's got a thumb injury. Quintez Cephas is now your wide receiver two there. It's either him or Marvin Hall, depending on how you're looking at it. Torn ligament in the thumb doesn't exactly make it easy to grip the ball or throw it. And Stafford has dealt with injuries the last couple of years between the back injury last year, the thumb injury now. Detroit's favored by 2 in this game. I would personally prefer Carolina. I think that they're the better team. I think that their defense has played well all year, especially with Detroit being so limited on offense. DeAndre Swift is out. I find it hard to believe that Carolina is still the dog. I think that if it comes out that Teddy is for sure playing, I think we might see this game move closer to a pick'em and might move in Carolina's favor, to be honest. So I think Carolina ends up winning that game. I just think that they're the better team. The record may not show it, but I think that they've shown it on the field.
Well, absolutely. And with Carolina, if they do inch their way closer and closer, a little bit closer to 500, I wonder if we're going to see some down ballot coach of your votes for Matt Rhule. He's done a really good job in his first year there. And I think Carolina's in good hands with him. The other NFC North game will be Thursday or Sunday afternoon as well, during the same time as the Packers, so thankfully I won't be stuck watching this game, which will be Minnesota and Dallas, because, yeah, that's going to be a thing. Because Minnesota is playing really well, they're getting better, and, of course, Dallas is the biggest disappointment in football. But when we look at this game, Minnesota should run all over Dallas, you'd think.
The wait is finally over. Football is back. You might not be at a game this year, but you can be in on the action at BetOnline. BetOnline is going the extra mile to make sure you can get in on every possible chance to win this season. From game spreads and totals to team, player, and coaching props, BetOnline gives you more options to wager than anywhere else. You could get in on their season opening bonuses today and start off wagering on wins, division, and championship futures all day, every day. Head to BetOnline online today and take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. Don't forget to use the promo code BLUEWIRE at betonline.ag. That's BLUEWIRE, all one word. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
They should, and I think that that's what's going to ultimately end up happening. Minnesota is favored in the game by 7 points, and that's nearly universal. There's a couple places where you can get it at Minnesota 7.5, but it's nearly across the board for me at -7. Andy Dalton's going to be back, which automatically boosts up the passing offense. I know some people are like, oh, well, Andy Dalton's not that good. Andy Dalton's a good backup. He's just playing behind a bad offensive line, and he got thrust in, and then he got knocked out by one of the dirtiest hits we'll probably see all season. I think the Minnesota just ends up winning this game. They just get out and they boat race them. It might not be the highest scoring output just because they like to run the ball so much. And Kirk Cousins finally got his big win on Monday night, but that's just because the Bears offense is the most inept group that we've ever seen. Quick random fun fact about the Bears offense. In the Matt Nagy era, they are 19-4 when they score a touchdown in the first half. A touchdown, not touchdowns, not a lot of touchdowns, not have a touchdown lead, just score a touchdown in the first half. They're 19-4. That's really good. But anyway, I think Minnesota wins this game pretty easily. And if I was betting on this game, which I still might, I'm probably taking Minnesota to cover 7.
Yeah, that's a sneaky team sneaking in that playoff race too, as well as Minnesota. I don't want to see them in January.
I don't think they end up getting there. I just think that the rest of the NFC is too good. Like, just a quick NFC breakdown. So we're taking Green Bay to win because Green Bay is just winning this division really easily. And then you have whatever the NFC East is, they're only going to send one team. the NFC West is probably going to send three teams between Rams, Cardinals, Seahawks. I just think the 49ers are going to fade. So there's three. So now we're up to six. And then the seventh is going to be one of the NFC South teams.
Well, we have the North, the East, the three in the West, and then I got to think Tampa Bay and New Orleans.
North, three in the East, or three in the West, East, South. Oh, okay. So, Tampa and New Orleans. So there we go. We have seven. I don't think the Vikings are able to overcome the other two teams in front of them, which are going to be Tampa and New Orleans.
Yeah, or Arizona or LA. It's going to be tight, but I'm with you.
Yeah, it's going to be tight, but I think that they're ultimately just not that good. I also think that they have to face Chicago again, and I think Chicago will be better in the rematch. And also, they're relying on Dalvin Cook staying healthy, which nothing against Dalvin Cook. I'm glad that he's playing well after getting paid, which never happens for a running back. But I think that his health is a big issue. He also – didn't he get injured earlier this year?
Yeah.
Yeah, and he missed the game against Atlanta. So if he gets dinged up, this entire Minnesota offense is just going to be kind of messed up because what they want to do won't be able to happen.
Okay, so now let's take a look at some of the numbers here in the Green Bay-Indianapolis matchup. Gage, you're the one who has all the numbers up. What's the spread for this game?
Spread for this game is Green Bay is actually a 1.5-point dog. You can get it at 1 or 2 in a couple of different places, but they're 1.5-point dog. That line has actually moved 1 point since Thursday when I bet on it. I bet it at Green Bay plus 2.5, so I got them as a dog. I took them on the money line to win. I just think that they're the better team, better ball club. 51.5 is your over-under here, so they're expecting about a 26-24 type game, somewhere in that range, maybe 27, something like that. But I just think I think Green Bay is the better team. I think that they're only getting – and the only reason the Colts are favored is because it's a home game. For those that aren't betting regulars, Vegas generally gives Vegas/sportsbooks, whatever, generally gives 3 points for a home team. So if you see – like if Indy was favored by 3 in this game – the sports books view these teams as equal, but Indy's getting a 3-point bump. So right here, they are convinced that Green Bay is actually 1.5 points better than Indy, but because they're at home, they get that bump. I'm taking Green Bay to cover that line. If I'm betting, like I have bet on this game, I bet them at 2.5. I would have taken this game up to 3, possibly. I would have taken it up to 4. Or no. I would take it as a Green Bay is a 3-point favorite. I got my words kind of mixed up there. If Green Bay was a 3-point favorite in this game, I would still feel comfortable doing that. I just think Green Bay is the better team. I'm going to take the over on the points because I think if Green Bay is going to win, they're going to have to put up points, and I think that they would allow points to Indy on the other side.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think, the line's shifting enough. I think when they got the injury news of Davante Adams going to play, Jaire Alexander going to play, I think that's going to go a long way toward helping. I'm with you. I think I take Green Bay in the points. I probably go the over as well. This isn't going to be like we saw with the windy games, how it's going to be low scoring, kind of a dogfight. This one will be a little more freewheeling, a little more open. And I think Aaron Rodgers is going to really enjoy playing inside. And I think that that'll fuel the Green Bay's offense. So with our final predictions, Gage, what do you think is going to be the actual score of this game?
Final score of this game, I'm going to go Green Bay 31. Indy 27. I'm still getting my over to kick in there. I just think Green Bay is the better team. I think that their offense is built to beat the Colts defense. Indy doesn't want to give up big shots down the field, and Aaron Rodgers is one of the NFL's best at hitting those, especially with him clicking with MVS lately. If Alan Lazard comes back, that's another downfield weapon. Davante Adams is going to carve up whatever corner you put in front of him. Like, even Kenny Moore, who in my opinion is the best Colts corner, he's smaller at like 5'9", but he's still one of the best slot corners in football. I just think that Green Bay has the pieces on their side of the ball to knock off the Colts, and so I'm excited. So I'm excited to watch this game because I don't normally get to see these two teams match up, but I just think Green Bay's better from stem to stern.
Yeah, I actually think it's going to be even a little closer. I'm going to go 30-27. I do think it'll be a battle. I think Frank Reich's a good enough coaching. He'll get them up and he'll get them going and he'll be able to make some adjustments. But I think at the end, I think eventually Aaron Rodgers is going to be too much for him. Aaron Jones will be a little bit too much. And I think Green Bay does get to 8-2, but it's going to be one of the tougher games they've had all season. So we both think Green Bay will win, but it's going to be an exciting one. So Gage, as we wrap things up, I know you got a lot going on your plate. So where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter at DBridge for the NFL. As always, I will be live tomorrow morning, or well, today now at 11 a.m. Eastern. I will be with at least Alex Strofe, possibly Tyler Gresgorik. He is moving. That's why he's not here with us today. So he might be there. He might not. I'm not 100% sure on that one yet. But I'll be on Twitter from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern time, giving fantasy football advice, answering any questions you might have. And then I'm, as always, working on stuff for Rotoballer, Denver Stiffs, covering the Denver Nuggets, Dynasty Nerds. I do a lot of stuff. I wear a lot of hats. If you ever have any questions for me, come find me. My DMs are open, and I read and respond to every mention that I get. So if you want to read anything that I do, go find it there. I can't list off everything that I do in a week because we would be here for a while.
Absolutely. You can find me on Twitter at Mike Quinlan, all one word. High school football season just wrapped up in Wisconsin. We had our final games on Thursday night. But, however, high school basketball starts next week, so I'll be doing that for Zaleski Sports. You can find my work there on ZaleskiSports.com, find my play-by-play work. And so I'll be doing that starting next week with basketball and hockey over the course of this winter, as long as everything continues to go according to plan. And, of course, find us on Twitter at Packaday Podcast. All of our great contributors, all of our great colleagues doing some spectacular work around that as well. And also find us wherever you can find your podcast, iTunes, SoundCloud, Spotify, Google Play, will there as well. Give us a subscription, give us a comment, let us know, and give us a rating. And, of course, get ready for some Packer football. It's going to be a good one, Packers and Colts, once every 4 years. I'm looking forward to it. I know Gage's as well. So, everyone, stay safe, stay warm, always carry the G, enjoy the game, and go Pack Go.